Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. Looking through articles this week to discuss, I noticed a trend, and it seemed like this week there's so much happening from a legal standpoint, whether that's judges coming to decisions on major rulings, whether it's new laws being broken and new cases being introduced, or whether it's shifts in the way that our law may work moving forward, especially when it comes to our rights. With fascism, so often the conversation is around rights. And of course, around the rights of marginalized groups. As the law starts to shift and it becomes easier for those in control to work actively against those marginalized groups, that is obviously going to take place through through legal mediums. So today I have several, again, as always on Friday, more than a dozen different articles to discuss on this topic. Not every one of these are going to be related to legal activity, but much of them are. I think the way that I'll do it today, I'm going to try and read a little bit from each of these. Usually I'll like focus on one or two and spend most of my time there and then just give a very brief idea of all the others. I want to dive in a bit more to each article if I can, at least for most of these. Okay, so to start, I'm going to read from something called advocate.com. It's titled, U.S. Court Allows State Bans on Gender-Affirming Care for Adults in Unprecedented Ruling. Now, we've heard a lot about gender-affirming care for youth, kids under the age of 18. Well, now the conversation has shifted to states being allowed to put a ban on this care for adults. The subheader here says, while bans on trans youth care have been numerous in recent years, this is the first to restrict care for transgender adults. On Tuesday, the U.S. Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals went a step further in the ongoing attacks on gender-affirming care for transgender individuals in this country. While more than a dozen U.S. states currently prohibit or limit Medicaid coverage for gender-affirming care, the Fourth Circuit became the first federal appeals court to enforce this type of law, according to a report by Reuters. The decision follows last year's Supreme Court ruling in the United States versus Scrimeti, which rejected a challenge to a Tennessee ban on gender-affirming treatment for minors. The unanimous decision came from a 3-judge panel of the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond, Virginia, overturning a prior judge's ruling in 2024. The statute violated anti-discrimination protections under federal law, as well as the Constitution. In defense of the first-of-its-kind ruling, the 4th Circuit panel stated that since the law applies to specific procedures, not specific individuals, it does not illegally discriminate against transgender people. The 3 judges on the panel, who'd all been appointed by Republican presidents, 2 by Trump and 1 by George Bush Sr., had dissented in 2024 when the majority of the 4th Circuit declared the West Virginia law invalid. In the 35-page documentation of the ruling, the panel expressed similar justifications for the decision as they had in the 2024 case. Now, this comment here made by one of them is specifically egregious. It says, quote, "It is not irrational for a legislator to encourage citizens to appreciate their sex and not become disdainful of their sex by refusing to fund experimental procedures that may have the opposite effect," wrote Judge Julius Richardson, a Trump appointee. Why a judge should have any place at all in encouraging citizens to appreciate their gender is beyond me. That is not their job. Their job is to look specifically at the law and whether or not this is discriminatory, which just a couple of years ago was determined in this same court that it was. They've now come back and said that it's not. And the justification for it is very odd as well. To say that because the law applies to specific procedures, not specific individuals. Well, I guess that depends on what the procedure is you're talking about, because those procedures are very often only done for specific individuals. If they're talking about more widely using things like testosterone supplements or breast implants or reductions, and they're saying that it's not about the individuals receiving them, but about the procedures themselves, then that means that your average man who is in need of a testosterone supplement should no longer be able to get it. Or a woman in need of, or just desire, maybe even for cosmetic reasons, to have a breast implant or for medical reasons, you know, many get breast reductions. Are they saying they're going to apply this law evenly and equally? I highly doubt that. Now, there has been more concern on this front recently as people continue to advocate for removing rights for transgender people. I saw that there were some petitions being made essentially to the CDC requesting a registry for all trans people. The government continues to use very anti-trans language, calling transgender people a threat to the spiritual health of the nation, the greatest direct threat to U.S. national security. There is something called Lemkin's Institute. There are 10 patterns of genocide. It basically goes through 10 steps, essentially, on the way to genocide. And many claim that the administration has made its way somewhere between the 4th and 7th steps actively in regards to the transgender community specifically. It is certainly something to watch out for as it continues to accelerate. Again, because there's so much going on all the time in this administration, many things went left unnoticed. They are not shown in the media or not talked about on social media. And if you yourself are not in a spot where you are surrounded by or know transgender individuals or other people that this could affect, you may not be hearing about this. So hopefully the more that it's talked about, the more pushback it can get. But this is certainly something scary and something to watch. Okay, going to the next. In TheGuardian.com, it talks about how anti-ICE protesters accused of being part of Antifa found guilty of support for terrorism in Texas. The case was seen as a major test of the First Amendment and whether the U.S. could use broad anti-terrorism statute to prosecute left-wing protesters. So this is something that we have talked about at length in previous episodes, especially on these Friday ones where we've seen the progress of this. We talk a lot about how the administration can say something or Trump can issue an executive order, make a statement, whatever it may be, that doesn't make it law and it doesn't mean that it's going to function that way. This is the first time that we have seen that terrorist identification being used against protesters on the left, and we're seeing it stick. Trump won this case, essentially, and these protesters were found guilty of providing support for terrorism. So reading through this article a little bit, a group of protesters in Texas was found guilty of providing support for terrorism and other charges on Friday in a closely watched case in which prosecutors alleged anti-ICE activists were actually part of an Antifa cell. The case was seen as a major test of the First Amendment and whether the government could use a broad anti-terrorism statute to prosecute left-wing protesters. It marked the first time the government alleged individuals were part of an Antifa terrorist cell in a criminal prosecution. 9 defendants were all tried together in the case. They faced a mix of charges of providing material support to terrorists, rioting, attempted murder, as well as firearms and explosive charges. Sanchez Estrada, first name Daniel, was the only defendant not at the protest and was only charged with corruptly concealing a document or record after prosecutors said he moved left-wing signs following the arrest of his wife, Maricela Rueda, on the 4th of July. Song also escaped after the incident and there was an 11-day manhunt for him. Several other people were charged with assisting Song during that period. Song, this is just one of the 9, was acquitted on 2 charges of attempted murder and convicted on 1. He was also convicted of firearm charges. He faces a minimum of 20 years and a maximum of life in prison, according to the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Texas. The others also face between 10 and 60 years in prison, while Daniel, who was not present at the protest itself, faces up to 40 years. Pam Bondi says, quote, Antifa is a domestic terrorist organization that has been allowed to flourish in Democrat-led cities, not under President Trump. Today's verdict on terrorism charges will not be the last as the Trump administration systematically dismantles Antifa and finally halts their violence on American streets. While I don't know the details of exactly what occurred at this specific protest, it does sound like it escalated. It got into more of an event than a simple, you know, group of people holding signs. It sounds like Song did have a weapon. It says, I'll just read here a little bit around what happened. It says, the case centered around a protest on the 4th of July at the Prairieland Detention Center just outside of Fort Worth. A group of demonstrators dressed in dark clothing arrived at the facility just after 10:30 p.m. and had planned to set off fireworks as part of a noise demonstration to show solidarity with the protesters inside. Shortly after arriving at the facility, 2 or 3 of the protesters broke away from the larger group and began spray painting cars in the parking lot. a guard shack, slashed the tires on the government van, and broke a security camera.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
Two ICE detention guards came out and told the protesters to stop. A police officer arrived on the scene shortly after and drew his weapon at one of the people allegedly doing vandalism. One of the protesters was standing in the woods with an AR-15 and hit him in the shoulder. The officer would survive. So it sounds like one of them did fire a round at an officer who was pointing a weapon at one of the protesters committing vandalism. It is undisputed. It says that there was only one shooter, Song. But prosecutors said the event was a coordinated ambush in which the demonstrators used the fireworks to lure guards from the facility and police and then attack them. The defendants strongly disputed that, saying they planned for a peaceful protest that ultimately went awry. Yeah, this is just a very interesting case. And it would be one thing, right, if there were charges brought against these individuals for the vandalism or for the one who shot, you know, the guard. That is obviously not surprising if it was charged for attempted murder, but to put terrorism charges on this simply because they say that they were associated with Antifa, which doesn't exist, is a very scary precedent for how these cases could be carried out in the future. And of course, the idea is to give pause to anyone on the left who is against fascism from showing up and protesting. Okay, from IBTimes.com, ICE accused of detaining 14-year-old girl in Massachusetts as bait to snare her father. Judge orders her immediate return. Controversial detention sparks legal and political backlash. It says the teenager was taken into custody by agents from U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Homeland Security during an operation in the city of Marlborough on the 10th of March, 2026, so just here a little over a week ago. Within hours, the child was moved to a federal building in Boston before being driven across state lines to a juvenile detention facility, prompting an emergency legal challenge that resulted in a federal court ordering her immediate return. She's at the center of a high-profile immigration dispute. She's being sent back to Massachusetts after the judge ordered her return. It says that lawmakers and lawyers allege she was being used as leverage to target her father for deportation. The judge says it's the first time in my 22 years as a federal judge that I've heard of federal agents taking a juvenile into custody under such circumstances. This judge also pressed the government attorneys about why the teenager had been transported to New York instead of being transferred to Massachusetts child welfare authorities, which is typically the procedure when authorities encounter an unaccompanied minor. We've heard less about ICE in the previous weeks since they've left Minnesota, which I think is a bit of what they wanted. They've gone to some other states. They've been wreaking havoc in Vermont, for example. But we have not had the same coverage of that as we had previously, though we are still seeing legal cases like this come out where the ICE agents are doing things they definitely shouldn't and being called out by judges for it. In an article by Obsessed, this is from the Daily Beast, it says, Trump melts down at Supreme Court justices in unhinged Truth Social rampage. The president said his attack against the nation's highest court would cause him nothing but problems in the future. Reading a little bit from that True Social post, Trump said, the decision that mattered most to me was tariffs. The court knew where I stood, how badly I wanted this victory for our country, and instead decided to potentially give away trillions of dollars to countries and companies who have been taking advantage of the United States for decades. So first of all, Trump having the audacity to say they knew where I stood and how badly I wanted this, as if to say that's reason for why the Supreme Court of the United States should rule on something, is absolutely preposterous. The hundreds of billions of dollars, he said, that our adversaries want our country to pay back to others that have disrespected the USA until I came along, should be marked down in the eyes of the public as just another reason why the United States has been in such a major decline. But not anymore, because we have made America great again, and very soon it will be greater than ever before. Yikes. A federal judge blocked RFK Jr.'s childhood vaccine cuts and said that he likely broke the law. This is from Fortune.com. It says a federal judge in Boston has temporarily blocked federal health officials from cutting the number of vaccines recommended for every child, and says U.S. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. likely violated federal procedures in revamping a key vaccine advisory committee. The decision Monday halts an order by Kennedy, announced in January, to end broad recommendations for all children to be vaccinated against flu, rotavirus, hepatitis A and B, some forms of meningitis, and RSV. The American Academy of Pediatrics and some other groups amended a lawsuit filed in July asking the judge to stop the government from scaling back the nation's childhood vaccination schedule. It should be so obvious that we should not reduce the vaccinations of children, that it's the very reason why we've been able to essentially eradicate so many diseases, and the doubts around it are the reasons why things are coming back. But there's a major concern that by having someone in such a position as this, with the authority that he has, to continue to cast doubt on vaccines as much as he has, is going to do a vast amount of damage. You've got people already before RFK Jr. who fed into the vaccine conspiracy theories. I have people in my own extended network of acquaintances who believe strongly in the idea that vaccines are harmful. When you get someone in this position who's validating those claims, even though this didn't get upheld and he wasn't ultimately able to push it through, this is likely going to spell disaster as more and more people cling to this idea and put pressure on lawmakers to make changes in the future. From thehill.com, judge permanently blocks Ten Commandments displays at several Arkansas school districts. A judge ruled Monday to permanently bar several school districts from following Arkansas's law to display the Ten Commandments in public school classrooms. I remember when this law came out, I don't know if it was in this state or if it was in Louisiana or Tennessee or whichever one it was, because it's kind of spread around, especially in the South. How absurd is it to have a state law requiring the Ten Commandments, a hyper-religious text with no background outside of religion, out of Christianity, right? Like, this is pulled straight from the Bible and a law saying you have to post it in your classroom. It's ludicrous. The judge wrote, Act 573's purpose is only to display a sacred religious text in a prominent place in every public school classroom. And the only reason to display a sacred religious text in every classroom is to proselytize to children. The state has said the quiet part out loud. The ruling affects several Arkansas school districts, but is not a statewide ban. Quote, today's decision ensures that our clients' classrooms will remain spaces where all students, regardless of their faith, feel welcomed and can learn without worrying that they do not live up to the state's preferred religious beliefs. It should not have to be said, and it's wild that it's taken a judge to finally shut this down after the law was already passed. That said, glad that it was. We could be seeing things moving in the other direction with rulings like this where they uphold it. So it's at least a small good sign, though we know that Trump and his administration, MAGA, is pushing towards a Christian nationalist society and education sort of being the norm. And we can only hope that the law continues to resist that. Pete Hegseth likely broke the law this week as he gave a speech. He said, and this is from New York Times, the title is Hegseth Vows Lethal Day in Iran as Air War Intensifies. At a news conference, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth gave no indication of how long it would take before the Navy could escort civilian cargo ships through the Strait of Hormuz. During the speech, Hegseth vowed that U.S. forces would allow, quote, no quarter, no mercy for our enemies. To give no quarter means to continue to attack an enemy who is wounded and out of the fight, which is a violation of international law. Many people were speculating on whether he was being hyperbolic, on whether he was just trying to be edgy. Either way, it's against the Geneva Convention. It is illegal to declare such a thing. Hegseth said, with every passing hour, we know and we know they know that the military capabilities of their evil regime are crumbling. They can barely communicate, let alone coordinate. They're confused and they know it. Our response, we will keep pressing, we will keep pushing, keep advancing, no quarter, no mercy for our enemies. Will he see any sort of justice for these types of comments? Yet to be seen. We can only hope that one day he faces some sort of tribune for this. On the corruption front, we learned about a TikTok deal, or I guess a brokering fee that Trump charged for his TikTok deal. We already knew that he had brokered the deal and that he had pushed for it. What we didn't know was that he had charged something along the lines of $10 billion from that deal. It says Oracle, Silver Lake, and Abu Dhabi's MGX are leading the charge, having already forked over $2.5 billion to the Treasury when the deal closed in January. The journal's report astonished tech reporter Carl Bode, who wrote on Blue Sky, "This is just open and abject corruption. But the way the U.S. journalism frames it, you'd not really understand that there's anything untoward. Like, maybe you'd want to explain, you know, anywhere in the article, that this is not effing normal and that the national security and privacy improvements weren't real. Maybe quote an objective expert or academic." Forbes journalist Kieran Meadows wrote on Blue Sky, "Anyone remember when there was this little thing called a law that banned TikTok in the U.S.? It was passed by Congress and signed by the president, so it was indeed a law. Like, if that means nothing, does anything mean anything anymore?" Stephen Solds, a psychologist and psychoanalyst, wrote, "The regime gets broker's fees? Silly question. Who decides what is done with that money? The crook in chief?" Obviously, these are just kind of anecdotal comments being made about, but clearly it is corrupt to secretly take in $10 billion to broker a business deal from the standpoint of the president of the United States. It is no bueno. International Business Times, we're back to IB Times. "Trump presidential library fund paid by companies he sued has dissolved with no public accounting. Senators Warren and Blumenthal are leading an inquiry into missing funds from Trump's library settlements." Running low on time here, so I'm not going to go deep into this one. It's tens of millions of dollars that was supposed to go towards his future presidential library. It's basically disappeared with no accounting of where the money went. We can make our own guesses. Two last quick articles here, this one from the democracydocket.com. Trump's latest blunder, he spent months emailing the wrong address to try and get control of Oklahoma's voter rolls. We already know that the Trump administration has been making this move on many different states, many of which have given up their state rolls willingly. And in this case, in this this illegal act, he's been sending it to the wrong place. Hopefully it was to somebody fun who could troll him back. New advances are being made on passing the SAVE Act regarding the midterm election. While it still has a lower probability of passing, the GOP is getting desperate. They are threatening as a whole to stop passing any sort of laws or legislation unless it gets passed. They're talking about taking control of the filibuster themselves in an effort to bust it and get it through. It's yet to be seen if any of that's going to function. But again, we've talked about this often. Trump views this as existential to his presidency, which basically just means that he is openly stating the only way that the GOP maintains power is if we can cheat, is if we can take control of the election. And as we've seen, talked about many times by him and others, the potential for him to attempt to run for a third term. Okay, I'm going to end it there today. If I missed anything major, feel free to reach out and let me know. Happy to catch up on it next week. Hope you enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Neulich bei der Versicherung.
Bahnhof.
Sie verstehen bei Ihrem Berater nur Bahnhof? Zeit zu Ergo zu wechseln, denn da verstehen Sie nur.
Einfach.
Denn wir machen Versichern einfacher. Einfach, weil's wichtig ist. Ergo.
Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.